to see this number out this morning. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest. We're so grateful that you've made your presence with us today. If you will, fill out a visitor's card so we'll have a record of your visit. And we just want you to know how grateful we are that you are here. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Travis has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. You can confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. If you'd make your way to the front and make your request known, we'd be glad to assist you in any way. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the book of Jeremiah and the 35th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study this morning. Jeremiah chapter 35, and we'll begin reading at verse 6 and read through verse 11 and then skip down a few verses. Look, if you will, beginning at verse 6. But they said, "We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, 'You shall drink no wine for your son, nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners.' Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all of our days, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyards, fields, or seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came into the land, that we said, 'Come, let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the armies of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians, so we dwell at Jerusalem.'" Then, if you will, drop down to verses 18 and 19 to save some time. "And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, 'Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you've obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever.'" I'm thankful that a few Sundays ago that Brother Robbie preached a sermon on the father of the prodigal. And I heard that he did an outstanding job as we discussed the father of the prodigal son. However, I thought that I would deliver a sermon along the lines of the legacy of a godly man or the legacy of a father. We've just read the letter penned by the prophet Jeremiah and noticed the words uttered by the descendants of Jonadab. Years and years have passed, and they say to Jeremiah, "We've been following the instruction of our father Jonadab." And this man left what you might call quite a legacy. It was not because he had an easy life, for such is not the case, but this man made wise choices. This man also taught his children and his children's children to make wise decisions. And I want us to notice some things about this man. The first thing I want us to identify is that he had a shameful family history. When you look back at his father, Rechab, you'll find that he was a captain in Abner's army under King Saul. And when it became clear David would be king and not Saul, Rechab and Baanah, another captain in Saul's army, done an act against their former king. They killed his son named Ishbosheth, and this man had come to power to rule in the land instead of his father, and now he'd been killed in battle, taking his own life. And Rechab and Baanah thought they would take credit for that death. If you take your Bible, turn back to 2 Samuel and the 4th chapter. And when you come to 2 Samuel and the 4th chapter, notice with me, if you will, what happens. Ishbosheth is murdered, and then you find that he takes his own life, and then you'll find what happens. You'll find that these men come unto David, and they said, "Look, Saul's dead, and we've killed this other man." And I want you to take note, they're taking credit for something that they should not have done. And notice what David, the man of God, says. Notice, if you will, in verse 11, "How much more when wicked men have killed a righteous person in his own house, on his own bed? Therefore shall I not now require his blood at your hand and remove you from the earth?" So David commanded his young men, and they executed them, cut off their hands and feet, and hanged them by the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner in Hebron. I want you to take note that here was Rechab, and this man did something that he thought would please the king. But instead it angered David, the man of God, and he ordered them executed. And that brought shame upon the family name. Here was Rechab who thought he would do something to win favor with the king by bringing the head of Ishbosheth and said, "We put him to death." When in reality they're trying to take credit for something they ought not. And David looked at him and said, "If you killed him, then they should take your life." And I want you to recognize that they acted ungodly. And so the question is, here was a man that had a name that was no longer reputable. Here was the name Rechab, and that man's name brought shame. And one might think that Jonadab would have grown up living under the shadow of his family's shameful reputation. So the question is, could a man like Jonadab change what people remembered about his family and create a new and honorable name for his family? The history of his descendants is one thing, but could it change what people thought of the name Jonadab? Could he leave a good legacy? But that brings up something else. I want you to turn back and notice that in the days of Jonadab, idolatry was in the land. Open your Bible, if you will, back to 2 Kings chapter 10. And when you come back to 2 Kings chapter 10, look, if you will, kindly at verse 15. At verse 15, it said, "Now when he departed from there, he met Jonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, 'Is your heart right as my heart is towards your heart?' And Jonadab answered, 'It is Jehu said, if it is, give me your hand.' So he gave him his hand and he took him up into the chariot." Now then, if you will, drop down and look at verse 23. "Then Jehu and Jonadab, the son of Rechab, went into the temple of Baal and said to the worshippers of Baal, 'Search and see that no servants of the Lord are here with you, but only the worshippers of Baal.'" Now, why was it? They are going to kill the people that were worshippers of Baal. Why is that? Because you'll remember that Jonadab and Jehu was zealous for God's holiness. In 2 Kings chapter 10, you'll remember in verse 5, Ahab and Jezebel had led the people into idolatry. And so you'll find that here is Jonadab and Jehu. They're trying to live according to the will of God. They sought to destroy Baal worship from Israel. They sought to bring back the law of God that you are not to have any other gods before Jehovah. Then we read in 2 Kings 10, 15 to 28, what they did to the worshipers of Baal. They killed them with the edge of the sword. They were jealous for the holiness and glory of God. So when I read about this man Jonadab, I see a man who did not follow in his father's footsteps. He did not keep going away from God. He did not commit shameful deeds. But this man took a stand to do what was right. That brings up something else. Go back to the book of Jeremiah and the 35th chapter. And notice that Jonadab not only took a stand in his life, but look at Jonadab's lineage. Jonadab had such a zeal for the holiness of God, and he had a zeal to keep his family from following the world in sin, and a zeal to keep them in God's way. Look at what he did. Notice that Jonadab taught his children, and he made sure that they taught their children, that it went from one generation to the next. It's been some 250 years after the death of Jonadab that the people are still talking about him. Not just the great event that he and Jehu performed against the Baal worshippers, but they repeated his teaching from God's word. They kept themselves from strong drink and idols. And God's word through the prophet Jeremiah says, this man was dedicated to God. Look at what again is said in verse 19. In 19, notice the Bible said, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not like a man to stand before me forever. I want you to think about three things there. I want you to think about his shameful past, what his father did. And that his father had violated the law of God, the way of God, the word of God. His father had done something shameful, and that would have brought shame to his name. But Jonadab did not allow the shame of his father to define him. That man decided he would stand up for what is right. Regardless of what his father did, regardless of his actions, Jonadab was going to be a man that did what was right in the eyes of God. He would be holy. He would not allow Baal worship. He said there's only one God, and that is Jehovah. And that man began to teach his children. And for 250 years, each generation taught the other generation what Jonadab had said. Don't make yourself too comfortable in this world. Dwell in tents. Be sober-minded. Don't be drunk. But be sober-minded and watchful for the enemy. And do not do as our grandfather Jacob did, but follow in the footsteps of God. And here we find 250 years later, Jonadab had left quite a legacy. The Rechabites are now people that are following in the footsteps of their forefather Jonadab. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lessons of yours. I want you to think about, first of all, like in the day of Jonadab, dark times are still about us. Idolatry is everywhere. Adultery is everywhere. Your ungodliness is on every hand. You can find sin around every corner, and our culture is consumed in it. And around us we see sin. But the question is, how do we keep from it ourselves? And how do we keep our children and our children's children pure? Well, first thing we got to do is, like Jonadab, make a commitment to God. I can't blame my forefathers for my decision. I am a man that cannot blame my father or my grandfather or anybody else for the decisions I make. In Ezekiel 18, you remember that Ezekiel said, "The soul that sins shall die." That the son does not bear the iniquity of the father, nor the father bear the iniquity of the son, but each soul will take in account for itself what deeds is done. So the first thing we must do is build a strong foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, after Jesus had taught the Sermon on the Mount, what does he say? In Matthew 7, he tells the parable of the wise man who built upon the rock and the foolish man who built upon the sand. And he says, if you build upon the world, your house will come crumbling down. So he said, build upon my teaching, build upon the rock. That is mindful of what the psalmist said in Psalm 11. Notice, if you will, in Psalm 11 in the first three verses. Notice what the writer of God, David, said. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundation are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to build on a strong foundation upon the Word of God, because no man can destroy that. We can't isolate ourselves from sin, but I'll tell you what we can do. Build a solid foundation upon God's Word and His promises. Secondly, we need to teach ourselves and our children, and our children's children, to do right regardless. To follow God regardless of the consequence. Do right because it's the right thing to do. It may not be the popular thing to do. It may not be the most convenient thing to do. But it is the thing God would have us to do. And may I stop right here and say, children must see this in our lives and hear it taught. If the only time they ever see us open our Bible is within these walls, they're not going to be proficient in Bible study. If the only time they ever hear us pray is when we gather together with the saints, they're not going to be people of prayer. But I'll tell you, my friend, we need to teach our children the right way of living. Because I want to ask you something. Who do you want teaching? If you don't teach them, do you want the school system to teach them with all the immorality that's in the system today? Who do you want teaching your children and your grandchildren? But I'll tell you something else. Just because you do right doesn't mean your children will do right or your grandchildren. And it doesn't mean that your forefathers will do right. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It means that I stand in God's foundation. I stand on God's promises. And I'll tell you something. They may do wrong, but they won't do wrong and feel comfortable around me. I stand amazed how many times my relatives, who were so ungodly at times, would call my sweet mother and ask her to pray for her. Why would they ask her? They knew she was right. They knew she was living godly. They knew that she was trying to do what was the will of God, and they had no concern for that, but they desired her prayers. I'll never forget one night I was awoken and I was told to go to the hospital. And there was an individual there that hadn't been living right. And they wanted me to pray for him. But I'll tell you something, my friend. You can pray for people. You can ask God to do things. But ultimately, right is determined by the individual. You make up your own mind. And young men and young ladies, it doesn't matter what your parents have done. It doesn't matter what your grandparents have done. You must make up your mind if you're going to be a child of God, if you're going to be faithful. And I'll tell you something. One day we're all going to be held accountable for the choices we make. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You may not believe it, my friend, but Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our deeds, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And that brings up another thought. As the children of God, we need to let our light shine. Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter. And notice what Paul had to say in the Roman letter and the 8th chapter. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, notice that Paul said, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Here is an individual who's put to death the old man. They've been baptized into Christ, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 8. They've been raised to walk in newness of life. They've made a covenant with their Father to follow His will, to let their light so shine before men that others may see their good works and glorify their Father. And as children of God, we can leave a great legacy in this world. Have you ever thought, will your name be mentioned 25, 50 years after your death? Jonadab was mentioned 250 years after his death by his own kindred because each generation said, look at the example he's left us. Look at the love he had for the Father. Look at how he followed God in spite of Ahab the king not following God. In spite of the fact that the people in the majority were worshiping idols. He condemned idolatry. He condemned drunkenness. He condemned a life that was separated from God. We need more people to set godly examples in our day and time. Finally, one last question in the lesson, Jude. What legacy will you leave behind? A shameful name? Or will you change and leave a good, better legacy? A Christian who walked with God. What better thing could be said of a person than they lived the Christian life? I want to tell you something. I don't know how many funerals I've done. I should have kept count. But I've done a lot of funerals where I had to stand beside the grave and try to think of something nice to say about the person, and yet, my friend, know their loss. There's been funerals where I stood there and I struggled, and I tell you what I did, I just preached about Christ. There was a man in Nashville who was preaching a funeral, and he told the funeral director, don't go too far. And the funeral director said he just turned around a couple of feet and he said this man got up and was preaching the funeral of an individual he knew. And he said, my mama always said, if you don't have anything nice to say about someone, don't say nothing at all. Funeral director, come get the body. I'll tell you what, there's some people that almost be right. What legacy are you leaving? I'm not asking about what possessions are you leaving. You're going to leave all of them. I'm asking what legacy are you leaving? What influence have you had on others? Have you used it for good? And whether they follow you or not, you follow God. Because ultimately, that's the one we're responsible for. And if you're here and you're not a child of God, I'll tell you what, you can leave a lasting legacy by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As together we stand and sing.